Welcome to the teaching ministry of the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We know you'll be blessed as Pastor Jim Cobray ministers the Word of God.
As we go to the Word of the Lord tonight, fixing the issues of our lives is what this is all about. Fixing the issues of our life is kind of a funny little title because it's saying something. It's saying that here we are, a people that, let's face it, every one of us that are in this building, we have a lot of issues. Sometimes we have stress. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Or worry or frustration. Sometimes depression or discouragement will hit us. Sometimes we'll just be out of sync with everybody and everything around us. Sometimes the weight of the world is upon us. Sometimes we don't know how we're going to meet the ends of our life. We don't know how we're going to get through the day. We don't know how to get through the week. We have a lot of issues in the body of Christ. We shouldn't, because we're not doing the right thing and fixing them as they come our way. But issues are everybody's problems. Problem that you might have in caring, or problem of insecurities in our lives. I wonder how many people would admit that they have problems of insecurity. That's an issue. You know, that the people that have anxiety and can't sleep or worried about tomorrow or are looking for something to happen in their life today, that's an issue. And what if I told you tonight, I can't do it for you, but I give you a formula that God gives in His Word to help you get through these issues so that you can be free of everything. You know, earlier I just quoted the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, temperance, meekness. You know that God wants us to be in love and joy and peace. Because of issues, oftentimes we're not. You know, the wife says, if my husband was only acting a certain way, that's an issue. It's not an issue with the husband. After all, if I show you how to deal with this, it becomes your issue. You have to deal with this. And the wife or the husband might say, I wish my wife was this and treated me this way. That's an issue. Or only if I had more money, that's an issue. Only if I didn't have that guy working with me on the job, that's an issue. I want to get through this problem. If I can get through this problem, everything will be okay. You're facing an issue. And life is full of issues, yes, but there is a way to deal with them so that the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, can be in your life every moment of every day. So you can literally be what we sing all the time. You know, Christians come into the house of God, we sing more than we really are. We talk about how we give our life to God and how wonderful He is and how we can't go anywhere else without Him. And we sing these songs, and oftentimes we don't live those kind of lives. Let's be honest with each other. Issues keep us from being it. We always say this. In fact, Deborah and I were just talking about this week. If we only had that one situation taken care of, I'll just deal with that. And when I get that dealt with, it's going to be okay. And it's not the issue that you want to deal with, that one thing. It's the issue of the heart. It's not the issue of the problem. It's not the issue of the husband. It's not the issue of the wife. It's not the issue of the kids. It's not the issue of lack of money. It's not the issue of your family. It's not the issue of relatives. It's not the issue of homelessness. None of those are issues that God can't take care of. And what we do is we let these issues burden us down and keep us from the fullness that God has for us. Tonight, I just want to express a formula that if you'll live by it, and so will I tell you what, the weight of those issues are going to go away. Let me read something to you. Listen to this, and I'll explain it to you and prove it to you by the Scripture today. God doesn't fix issues in you, but you fix issues by God. Are you getting that? God doesn't fix the issues in you. In other words, we're always waiting. If God just deals with this situation, I'll be okay. The moment you deal with the issue through God, you're okay. You got it backwards. And I love this. Listen to this. The issue gets fixed the moment you fix on Him as the answer. The issue is fixed the very moment that you stop looking for the issue to be fixed as you would understand it to be fixed and see it being fixed by Him. None of the Bible tells us to cast our care on He that careth, Peter tells us. every day the best, greatest relief of every issue there might be. Frustrations in life and frailties and insecurities and all the other stuff. The greatest way to do is just give that issue to God and know that He loves you enough, He'll take care of it. It may not happen in your time. You may not see it with your eyes immediately, but God will take care of it. When you get rid of it, man, there is a feeling of love and joy and peace on the inside. You're ready to really do what we say. I like this little statement. It's never about the issue. It's always about the answer, God. And what we do is we focus too much in on the problem or the issue instead of focusing in on the answer. And when you focus in on the problem, waiting for God to get rid of the problem in order for you to be what God wants you to be, or to be happy, or to be filled, or full of joy, or love, or peace, guess what? It doesn't work. And you and I have got to get ourselves to the place where we realize that the answer is God. Simple as that, is God. It's not about money. It's not about having a perfect life or having a big home or having a job where you go home and you have peace. That's it. All the peace is not coming by your job or money. The peace comes by the answer, God. All the joy, you're not made to get joy by having all your problems solved. You're made to have joy because the problem solver lives inside you. And until you and I get to the place that we get our eyes off the problem and get our eyes on the problem solver and get our cares off of ourselves and get our cares on Him, we're never going to be what God wants us to be. We're never going to fulfill it. You're always going to just wonder why. You're always going to run to some ministry where somebody's going to lay hands on you. Hopefully a God will get it this time and relieve you of the issue or the problem. The issue or the problem is solved when you get into the answer, and the answer is immediately when you get your heart fixed on God. Jesus is confronting His disciples. Go there with me, if you will, in the 16th chapter of Matthew. And as He goes to the 16th chapter of Matthew, it's kind of interesting. He's talking to His disciples, and he makes a statement to His disciples that I personally think is one that over the years I've thought a lot about. Not just because He asked His disciples, but I think it's in the Word of God and penned and preserved all of these thousands of years so that you and I could be asked the same question. In the 16th chapter of Matthew, in verse number, if you will, in verse number 13, it says, "And when Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, saying, 'Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?'" In other words, they see me as a man, a human. Who do they say we are? Who do they say I am? They answered him in verse number 14. Some said John the Baptist and Elijah, and the others Jeremiah, and one of the prophets. In other words, they had no idea who he was. And then he goes along and he says, "But who do you say that I am?" In other words, he went from what do the people say? They don't know, but you've walked with me. And now because you've walked with me and you've known me and you've seen me and you've felt me and you've sung to me and you've heard about, in other words, it's the same thing with the church today. Here we are. We know who He is. So who do you say Jesus is? He comes along and makes this statement. And Simon Peter answers and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said to him, verse number 17, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah. Flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father who is in heaven." In other words, He answered it correctly. You are, if you will, in verse number 16, the Christ, the Son of the living God. If we were asked that question today, every one of us would say the same thing. Who is Jesus? He's the Christ. He's the Messiah. He's the Deliverer. He's my Healer. He's my all in all. He's my protector. Jesus is my deliverer. You know you would say that. You know why? Because we've been trained to say that. And it's the right answer. But what good is it if it comes out of your mouth and it's not in your heart? And then when the issues come, it depresses you. When the issues come, it discourages you. When the issues come, you fall to these issues. When the problems come and the insecurities and uncertainties come on your life, what happens then? Is he the Christ, the deliverer? Is he the provider? Is he the protector? Is he the anointed one from God the Father, who everything is going to be made right by him and filled by him? Is he then when the problems are on? Or do we look for the problem to go away and then we'll worship God? You know, same thing today. Who's Christ? Well, for a lot of people, we know the answer in our mouth, but this is all about the heart. In order for you and I not to have the issues depress our days. Now, let's be honest. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but is there anybody in here really hasn't had days or times in their life where they're just not depressed? You're a liar. And afterwards, we need to pray for you to cast a lying devil out of you. Because we've all had situations in our life that have just depressed and discouraged us and frustrated us. And it goes on constantly. No matter how long you've been a Christian, no matter how many times you heard the word or even preached the word of God, until you get to the place where every issue is dealt with by a little simple formula, every day you're never going to be in anything but depression, discouragement, and you're going to be bounced around like a rubber ball by the devil. And it's so simple. I'm going to take you to some scripture, not going anywhere else tonight but these scriptures. Proverbs 4th chapter. And we're going to talk about fixing the issues of our lives. When I get into Proverbs, the 4th chapter, I want to read to you verse number 23. I said it's all about your heart. When there's issues, it's all about where your heart gets fixed. Is it fixed on the problem, the issue? Or is the heart fixed on the Messiah, the provider, the anointed one? Listen, guys, we're all there. We're learning how to do this together. Come on, follow me on this. Verse number 23. It's to keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the springs the issues of life. The issues of life are going to come by how you deal with your heart. The issues of life aren't dealt with because problems go away. Problems never go away. Until Jesus comes and you look at him face to face, then problems are going to go away. Until the rapture comes and we're all out of here. But while you're here on this life and while you're here on this earth, you and I are going to have problems, issues. Things are going to, hear me now, gripe you. Things are going to rub you the wrong way. People are going to say and do things that will hurt you, frustrate you, depress you, discourage you. You live in a world. So do I have frustration. And how you deal with these problems has to do with whether or not you have any love, joy, or peace coming from you as you open your mouth and show God how great he is and how he is the Messiah. Let's take a look at the verses. Go back up with me at verse number 20. I'm going to give you a bunch of things. I don't expect you to do them all. But if you can do a few of them or half of them, man, whoo, you're going to be happy tomorrow. In fact, you'll be happy the moment you take the Messiah, the Son of God, as the answer to the problem and put him on. Sick him. Sick him. I'm out of here. I don't have a problem. God's got it all. I'm casting it. This isn't my problem. This is his problem. My job, and I'll talk about that in a minute, is to do something. Let's find out. Verse number 20. My son, give attention to my ear. Give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. We've got to put a priority on God's word. Not on the problem. Have you ever had a problem and you just meditated all the time? Debbie and I were talking about this. It was a train of thought. Have you ever had a train of thought? You know what a train is? A train is out there on the track and it's car after car after car after car. Have you ever had thoughts that there's thought after thought after thought? It's a train of thoughts over and over and over again about the negative junk that you're thinking about. Instead of the word, there's got to be not a priority on the problem. You can't have a priority. But if God just, I don't know how many people will tell me, and I'll start to tell them, all you need to do is get into God. Well, no, wait a minute. You need to pray that I need this problem. You need to get rid of this problem. No, the problem is already defeated the moment you get into faith. It's already done. You can rejoice. It's a done deal. And the priority for every single one of us has got to be, what does God say about my life? I'm blessed in the city, blessed in the field. I'm blessed coming, blessed going. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Devil, get the hell out of my life. You have no right in my life at all. Priority is on the word, not the problem. If the priority becomes the situation that puts pressure on you, the insecurity, the frustration, the discouragement, or the failures of the past, you will never, ever have anything but an issue that you hope God someday will take pity on you and get rid of. And it doesn't work that way as Christians. Who do they say Christ is? Is he your Lord? Is he your Savior? Is he deliverer? Is he your provider? Is he your healer? Is he your Messiah? Absolutely. Then act like it. Are you mad at me? Well, that's only the first one. Verse number 21. I like this one. Here it is. Let me give it to you. You and I have not only got to have a priority in God's word. Listen to this. We've got to see spiritually. You can't see with your eyes. Naturally. Naturally, you're down. Naturally, you're out. Naturally, you're broke. Naturally, you're not going to make it. Naturally, you are ugly. I'm just kidding. Well, that's what you will say about yourself as you look at yourself, because you don't like yourself. And you need to start seeing what God sees. That's my child. That's my kid. I paid the highest price in the world for that child, for her, for him. I sent my only begotten son, and he died so he or she could live. You're the most valuable commodity. You got to start seeing that. Notice what it says in verse number 21. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. In other words, you've got to start seeing the Word of God and God's promises as a priority. You've got to start seeing it spiritually. In other words, I'll tell you what, you will be depressed in these last days as the world starts to rock and roll and shake before Jesus comes, like birth pains, the Bible says. And you've got to start seeing spiritually. Number three, you're going to have to simply do your job. And I like this. It says this in verse number 22. It says this, for they are life to those who find them and health to their flesh. But verse 23 says, keep your heart with all diligence. For out of it are the issues of life, or spring forth the issues of life. Did you notice the first part of that? Keep your heart. God doesn't keep your heart. You keep your own heart. Oh God, keep me from sin. What do you want me to do? I've already gone to the cross and paid the price, so you're free. I've sent you the Holy Ghost. I've given you my promises. They're backed by my kingdom. You just have to believe in them. What do you want me to do? I know. I'll come down in your backyard. Oh, man, I need to mow the grass and get back up on the cross for you in your backyard. Doesn't work that way. God wants you to keep your heart. It's your job to watch yourself. It's your job to make sure you get fed the things of God. It's your job to do whatever you can to keep the priority of His Word. It's your job to learn how to see things spiritually instead of seeing things naturally. It's your job. And you need to be diligent in doing that, keeping your heart. Oh God, keep me from screwing up. Keep me from depression. Make everything wonderful so I don't have a problem. Tell it to every one of the disciples that lost their lives. Tell it to Jesus who's nailed on the cross. Tell it to the martyrs. Some of them 5,000 a day went to the cross, watched their children burn in the arenas of Rome. You talk about having issues, man. And they sang songs as they cut their children up, and lions ate their children right in front of them. 5,000 a day, day after day after day after day after day after day. And they wouldn't give up Jesus. They were fixed on His Word. They had a spiritual sight, and they did their job holding on to Him and watching their heart. No matter what they saw, no matter what they heard, they were not going to back off. Boy, I tell you, that's good preaching, preacher. It's true, isn't it? Then I like what it says, verse number 24, but here's number 4. You got to watch your mouth. I just say wash your mouth. Watch your mouth. It says this, verse number 24, put away from you a deceitful mouth and put perverse lips far from you. In other words, are you speaking stuff you should not speak? Now, wait a minute. What is it you shouldn't be speaking? How about speaking the problem? How about talking about the issue? Well, if that jerk would just stop coming to work every day, my job would be a lot easier. You ever notice how they never work? I'm the only one that works, and then I get bawled out, and they get the raises. I am so... All of a sudden, what you do is you poison your own well. And if you don't watch your mouth, you will gossip. You will roll your eyes when you shouldn't roll your eyes. It's not about just words. It's about body language. How are you doing today? I'm fine. You just said, I'm fine. Don't talk to me, sucker. I hate your guts. And it's all about things you say. And here God says, listen, if you're going to have this kind of a spiritual insight where you're going to see spiritually, you're going to put a priority in my word, you're going to keep your heart diligently, you're going to have to watch your mouth. In other words, the stuff comes out of your mouth. It's not, well, I just have a problem. You don't understand. I have a problem. Uh-huh, you do. And the problem really is enhanced by your mouth. And so as long as we're going to keep talking out loud, saying stuff we ought not to say, and speaking negative about something, in other words, the Bible comes and tells us in Romans, who are you to judge another man's servant? To his master he will fall, or he will stand, and his master will make him stand. You're not the master. He's got someone to count to. His name is Jesus. Jesus will take care of him. My job is to watch my mouth. The problem with that is, listen to me, saints, when you are ticked off and you got an issue going, you know what I'm talking about, the mouth really goes. It's like the heart is full and the mouth spills out trash. Well, my husband, if he did, you know, honey, you're the only one I can talk to. You're my only girlfriend. You know, my husband, he's a bum. I wouldn't tell anybody else this. I only tell you this. Oh, you know, Bible says, what are you doing gossiping? broken God. All of a sudden now you're out of sync with God. Out of sync means out of power. Out of power, out of blessing. Remember last week? You won't watch our mouths. How can we ever expect? There shouldn't be one thing out of your mouth that's horrible. You know, I don't like the condition of the country. Who would? Who would? But I'll tell you what. I'm not watching people who constantly badmouth my president. Now, I want to talk to you just a minute. You say, well, that's fair game. Oh, yeah, it is. Just like the devil says you're fair game. I don't agree with everything that's going on. I hate some of the things that are going on. But that's still my president. And anybody that's on television talking down about him and talking trash about him and building him up like he's a dog, let me tell you something, is coming against me and coming against you. Whether it's George Bush or Obama, it should never have happened in America. Whether they're Republican or Democrat, it should never happen in America. We don't need to criticize and open our mouths and destroy people with our mouths. And there's no fair game except the devil. And you can tell him where to take a hike. And I tell you this, you can say anything, I say, well, I know, I don't like the way they do things, and I like watching that television show because they keep me abreast with what's going on, and they tell me they're so negative on the other side, I can't watch them anymore. Because it's wrong to open our mouths and poison the world we live in with our words. When we are the people who should be speaking faith, I'm going to believe God for great things. I'm going to believe God that whoever's in the presidency is my president and I'm going to back him as long as I can until I see things that are contrary to the word of God. I don't back that. But I do back anything that's not contrary to the word of God. So we need to watch our mouths about what we speak because we poison not them, we poison our own existence. And all of a sudden, the issues that we have are worse than they've ever been. Come on, saints. Somebody ought to say amen. Number five, found in verse number 25. I like this. Number five is, don't be distracted. Everything will come your way and try to distract you. And you've got to have yourself in a place where you are just focused in on God. Distracted means you're, instead of being in there, you are off thinking of that issue or that problem. Don't be distracted. Look what it says. Let your eyes look straight ahead and your eyelids look right before you. Don't be distracted. I got my eyes fixed on the answer. His name is Jesus. I'm going with Jesus, and I tell you what, He's got an answer for me. He's my Lord. He's my Savior. He'll open doors. No man can open. Close doors. No man can close. My Jesus, the issue isn't the problem. My eyes fixed on Him, and no matter what the problems are around me, I'm not getting distracted with them. I'm going to keep my eyes on Him. And without it, guys, what we do is we become distracted. Which brings us to number six. Think about godly results. You may not see the results, but think about them. Verse 26 says, ponder the path of your feet, that all your ways be established. Ponder means think about where you're going. That's what it just said. Where are you going? When you got Jesus, I'm going to the answer. I'm going to freedom. I'm going to abundance. I'm going to Him meeting my needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. That's where I'm going. I'm the victor. I'm not the victim. I'm the one that's victorious. I'm the one that's out in front. I'm the head. I'm not the tail. I'm not down low. I'm up high.
I'm telling you, my God has got great, mighty, marvelous things. And listen to what I'm going to say to you. You and I have got to think that way all the time. Yes, the problems come. Yes, the issues come. Yes, the words come. Yes, there's all kinds of... And you say, Pastor, you're just like an ostrich. You're sticking your head in the sand. The reality of the problem is still real. And I'm saying, I'm not an ostrich. I'm not sticking my head in the sand. I'm putting my heart in Jesus. And there's a difference between sticking your head in the sand and doing nothing, or putting my heart in the Savior who can do everything. And every day I've got to think about good results that my God's going to bring. If I don't think this, what am I thinking? I'm pondering the loss. I'm pondering the failure. I'm pondering the discouragement. I'm pondering the frustration. I'm pondering the depression. I'm pondering the injustice that came against me. I'm pondering, this is not just, this is not fair. It's injustice. Yes, the world is full of injustice. And the justice you and I have is a just and living God. He can do great and mighty and marvelous things. And we need to ponder what He wants us to do. Which brings us to the last point tonight. Which is stay right side. You remember left side, right side? Right side is godliness. Left side is ungodliness. Right side was spiritual. Left side was flesh. Right side was life. Left side was death. Notice verse 27. And do not turn to the right or the left. Here's the part of the verse. Remove your foot from evil. Don't stay in something that's contrary to the things that God promised. When your heart is fixed in something, the issue, the problem, the depression, the discouragement, the injustice. When your heart's fixed on that, listen to me now, saints. Instead of being fixed on what God's answer is, then what happens is that you have gone left side, waiting for the left side to fix the problem, and it never will. And you're going to have to stay spiritual, because spiritual brings you to a place of love and joy and peace and long-suffering, gentleness and goodness and faith and temperance and meekness. And you operate in something you never knew could operate in. Doesn't matter what your mama called you. Doesn't matter what your dad did. Doesn't matter about your uncle who came through the door when you're 11 years old and assaulted you. Doesn't matter how many people divorced you, called you names, left you, made promises and gave up on you. Doesn't matter how you look. Doesn't matter how you feel. You've got Jesus on the inside and you need to watch Him and keep Him there with your heart, your whole heart, every single day. Jesus is the answer to every one of our issues. And without that, we find ourselves failing. Your job is to keep some of those, just some of them, first and foremost in your life, every day. And you will see yourself walking around whistling. Dr. Becker drives me nuts. He walks through the office all the time whistling. Does he do that at home too? Man, imagine being on a boat for like 25 days, a little boat with this guy that whistles all the time. I'd like throw him over, and as soon as a big white shark come by, throw the guy over with. He's whistling all the time. But you know, when you got Jesus and you know everything's going to be okay, you're going to find yourself whistling. Now, I don't know about you, how many would much rather live the kind of life that you whistle instead of the kind of life that you cry? How many of you would like to live the kind of life where you're happy instead of the kind of life you're depressed? How'd you like to live in the fullness of the joy and the peace instead of just a scratch when they sing a song on Sunday morning? See, have you ever wondered why you come to church? When you come to church, listen to me. You go like this, you take a deep breath, you go, it's good in this place. Because all of a sudden, you're now pondering His goodness, His lifestyle, His desire, His ways, His promises. And it's like you just cast your cares every day on Him that careth. If God spoke to you today, come on, give Him a great big praise the Lord. Would you do that? A good word. So simple. So simple.
We want to thank you for listening to Pastor Jim Cobray. If you've enjoyed this message and would like to know more about The Rock Church and other resources, please log on to www.rockchurch.com.